How great are you, Lord, that we get to come and celebrate all that you've done in this past year. Lord, just be so present with us now. Bring joy to this place. In your name, amen. You can grab a seat. All right, so we're gonna start right into our Celebration Sunday, and I'm gonna be chatting about our youth ministry, our grade 5-6 ministry, and our young adult ministry. And starting off with our youth ministry, in this past year it became Fuse Youth Ministry, and being called that in this idea that we want our students to come and for their lives to be fused with God. To be one with God, it's unbreakable. And every Friday night, we come together here at the church for small groups, games, worship, a lesson, and just being in community, ultimately. And I just have a short video of Fuse that I want to show you guys. And it was put together by my amazing wife, but also the power of the photo app. That thing is on iPhones. It's awesome. It'll do things for you. So, we're going to queue up the video, take a look at what Fuse was all about this past year. So it was an awesome year. A couple specific highlights from Fuse this war. It was that we kicked off a leader in training program for our grade 11 and 12 students. And 7 students signed up for that this year. They said yes over last summer to figuring out what that would all be about as we kicked it off and started it up. And those 7 students have just grown immensely in their faith and their maturity. Met twice a month. To talk about Jesus, talk about leadership, talk about ministry. And what's been just so exciting for me in that time was to do ministry, not just for students, but to do ministry with students. It was just such an awesome time. We had our midweek small groups that met every Wednesday. And our senior high students from those small groups had a chance to go downtown and serve those less fortunate, blessing them with hot drinks, sandwiches, clothing, and again, such a growing opportunity for them. As we were like getting ready to go at the church here with the girls specifically, not all of them, but a lot of them were like stressed to the max, like verge of tears, and you know it can be a scary thing. But they got down there and they just poured their hearts out and just reflected Jesus, and it was just so awesome. And my final highlight for Fuse was our Fuse retreat, which was just this past weekend. We brought out 32 students, and on Saturday night we had this opportunity for our students to respond to a message, to come forward, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive more of Jesus. And that I know of for sure, they could have also just done this from their seats. They didn't need to come forward. But 27 out of those 32 students came up to seek more of Jesus, to be filled by the Spirit. And this was one of our prayers, our one prayer for 2019 out of Ephesians 1. This wisdom, power, and fullness. And this prayer of fullness was coming to fruition, is coming to fruition in our students. Fullness in Jesus. And that's just such an exciting thing. Finally, in the past year, we saw three students accept Jesus as Lord and Savior over the course of the year. And eight of our grade 7 to 12 students get baptized between our two baptism service. Yeah. Isn't it great what God is doing through through our students?
No way!
It's awesome. And then we had our tweens program, and that became our Ignite grade 5-6 program. And we'd see usually around 20 students come out each night, almost 30 at some of our fun events, like our gym nights and laser tag. And a lot of those grade 5 students that were coming didn't know Jesus at all when they started coming. Their families don't go to church, and they've been spending time learning about Jesus through our leaders in the first semester, teaching about the attributes of God, and then this past semester, we went through the Youth Alpha course, and it has been just awesome. One of those students got baptized, and just 2 days ago at a wrap-up, I found out that one of our grade 5 students, who doesn't normally attend here on a Sunday morning, was going to be moving to Edmonton. But their mom came. She came to pick the student up, and she asked me, like, told me they're moving to Edmonton, and asked me for any recommendations in that area of Edmonton of where they're moving for another kind of grade 5-6 ministry program, which is just such an awesome thing. So they're going to get plugged into another church there, and God's good. Isn't it great what God is doing in our grade 5-6 students? And I got to say, too, neither of these ministries could have happened without just the two incredible leadership teams that Jesus put in place. Both teams that loved and built strong relationships with our grade 5-6 students, our youth students. And these were leaders just reflected Christ in powerful ways. And that has been such an honor and privilege to just be a part of those teams and see how Jesus is ultimately leading them to lead our students. So, I mean, yeah, thank you to you guys, you leaders. You know who you are. And then our young adults ministry. It kickstarted this fall. We had a pool of around 20 young adults that would regularly come. We'd have roughly kind of, you know, young adults, they're flaky sometimes. You guys know. You young adults know. And we'd have around 15 that would come out to mine and Kara's basement every other Sunday, and we'd be going through a Right Now Media series. We met, every other Sunday night, and just great teaching, discussion, and almost every single night ended in a late night McDonald's run to the fort somehow. Yeah. So two kind of highlights that were also problems we had, but good problems. Is that our house ultimately is not big enough to support that ministry anymore, so we're going to be moving to the church in the fall. And the other problem is they want to stay way too long and socialize with each other. So they love each other, and God's doing good things there. And then we saw one of our young adults get baptized as well. Isn't it great what God is doing in and through our young adults? Yes. And so now, I'm going to call up our grads in just a second here. We have six high school grads altogether. So yeah, grads, you come up. You know who you are. Six high school grads, two post-secondary grads. They are going to come up now. There's two of them MIA, and there's a picture up on the that's going to come up on the screen. And I'm going to come down. You guys stand in front of the crowd and awkwardly face these people. Here, you guys come over here so you're kind of spaced out semi. So Kate, David, Adina, Emily, McKenna, John, Abigail, and Jade. John and Jade are both graduating from the U of A. Jade from the Augustana campus. And John, what's the program called that you're graduating from?
Bachelor of Secondary Education.
Bachelor of Secondary Education. This guy's going to be a high school teacher. It's awesome. And then these five here, and Abigail, all graduating with high school diplomas this year. Just so awesome. So I have a couple words for you guys, and then we're going to pray over you, because prayer is good. So, yeah, a couple of you, you're heading to school right away. Most of you in conversations, it seemed that, you know, there's this unknown of figuring out what is next, but partially to enter into work, to earn some money, maybe go back to school and do some upgrading. Both good things. But with any option, and this especially as you figure out what's next and where to go, lean into God. Take the time to seek God, what direction He'd have for you. Don't think you can do it all on your own, because you can't. You need God in the midst of it, at work, at school, the rest of life. You need God. And you have a lot of choices ahead of you. And for some of you guys, you're entering into like a new found freedom almost, like you've never even had before. And even in that freedom, continue to follow God, continue to seek God. It'll be easy with these new freedoms to go and find something else as you enter into work, to school, to say like, you know what, I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to volunteer in a ministry. I got all this going on. But quickly, like the Jewish people, while they were waiting for Moses, twiddling their thumbs to come back down from Mount Sinai, you'll build up your own golden calf, your own idols. Exodus 32:8 says, "How quickly they turned away from the way I commanded them to live. They have melted down gold and made a calf, and they have bowed down and sacrificed to it." I was looking at all these lists of like, you know, these top 10 advice to give to grads, and you know, they're all good things, but the ultimate thing is my greatest encouragement I can give to each one of you is that each next big step in life you take, as you keep walking, continue to seek Jesus. Continue to put Him first. In John 4, it says, "Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Drink the water Jesus provides, the Holy Spirit. Seek Him. Be filled by Him. Dive into the Word. Be in constant prayer. Wherever you end up, seek a church community too, a family of believers that you can surround yourself with." And so now in a moment, I'm going to pray for you guys. But what I want to do first, and it's going to feel squishy, but that's okay. I'm going to call up, I'm going to invite our families of these grads, our youth leaders, our young adult leaders, and any other friends that want to come up, and we're going to pray for these grads. So come on up, come fill this space here, and I'm going to stand on the stage. You guys stay where you are. You can come up on the stage too, families, if you feel like there's a space. We're going to fill this spot. And we're going to pray for you guys. Yeah, no kidding, Stephen. All right. Would you join us in prayer? So, Jesus, we thank You for how You've led each one of these grads to this moment. This moment of just being weeks away from being done high school, for Jade and John for being done post-secondary already. This moment of having all this family surrounding them in this church. Lord, You have each one of them here for a reason. We're so glad that You've placed them here. Holy Spirit, would You fill each one of these grads now? John, Adina, Abigail, Emily, McKenna, Jade, David, and Kate. Holy Spirit, fall upon them now that they would just have more and more of You. Allow them to never go thirsty because they've drank of Your living waters. Father, guide them along as they take these next big steps in life of post-secondary jobs and just figuring out what is next. Lead them and guide them. Lord, we pray that each of them would be an absolute light and joy wherever You have them. Let them reflect You, let them glorify You, and make Your name famous. Jesus, we pray all this in Your holy and perfect name. Amen. Isn't it great what God has in store for these grads?
No way.
No way. You guys can all grab a seat. And with that, I am going to call Kelly up. and she's going to come on up and chat about children's ministry and preschool.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, well, that was a tough act to follow. Wow. Way. Okay. Well, I don't know where to start, so let's start with preschool. I'm not too sure if everyone knows, but we do have a preschool that operates during the week here in Sturgeon Alliance Church. They have two preschool rooms downstairs, and two of our sisters in Christ here in our church body, Julie Mullins and Sarah Kugler, are our intrepid teachers. And that's the wrong one. Can you find the preschool one? There you go. Perfect. Okay, so preschool operates Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They have 3 and 4-year-olds. And a typical day looks like going downstairs and doing circle time, craft time, snack, open play time where you see the playground equipment in the middle of the room there. And often, once or twice a month, they go on field trips. And Julie and Sarah just do an excellent job. Some of the highlights this year, it was a banner year for attendance. We have about 41 students this year, which is excellent. So that keeps the girls hopping. And about 33 of them are not from this church or have church backgrounds. So we're doing, they're doing a fantastic community ministry. We have one family that's attending, or that's part of the preschool that's now attending here. Christmas, we changed the format a little bit, and we did a Christmas slash family Christmas party and concert, and that was received really well. If you were part of it, you know there was gingerbread houses everywhere. And the ladies sponsored a Christmas craft, or sorry, it was a craft just before Christmas for women, and we had about 30 ladies, and that was a mix, again, of preschool moms, community moms, and church moms. So again, another way to rub shoulders with our community families. And so I just want to give a big shout out to Julie and Sarah for such a great job. They're very, very brave. Okay, so on to Sunday mornings. Let's go to Coffee and Chaos. This is another non-Sunday event. So on your top right corner there's a playground equipment full of kids. That's not the half of it. If I showed you all my pictures, you'd run away. It's like the name, it's chaos. So that looks like on Wednesday mornings from 9 to 11:30, I have anywhere from 10 to 18 moms that show up with all of their kids. And I've got several day home moms, so that's multiplied by, you know, 5 kids or something like that. So I can get up to anywhere from 20 to 29 kids at one time, plus the adults. So lots and lots of busy activity, but I'd say all of them except for one or two moms are community parents. And so I really enjoy rubbing shoulders with them. We get to talk deeply when we have a chance, when the kids aren't being crazy. And we're just creating community within our group and with each other, so that when things happen in their lives, we are the first place that they come because they're comfortable with us. And that's the same with the preschool. All right, so now we're going to move on to Sunday morning. So Sunday morning, we have nursery and G-force. So nursery is in the nursery room. Those are 0 to 3 years old. And then G-force is 4 years old to grade 4. In G-force, it looks like, you know, worship time with our kid camp videos, and then we do story time and snack and craft, and if there is time left over, we play. There's lots of toys and playground equipment for them to play with, and so we just have a great time connecting with the kids. Sometimes when you're dealing with elementary kids, it's hard to see the fruit of the effort that you put into those kids. Often you don't have a chance to have conversations with them, but I just want to share with you a couple of quick anecdotes from my teachers. So this year I have Bert Zylstra, Jen Evans, and Michelle Dion, and myself that rotate and teach G-Force, and my team is top-notch. Couldn't find any better. And they do an excellent job in teaching the word, making sure that the word is true and relevant to the kids, but they also love connecting with the kids. And I just want to share a couple of stories just to highlight what's going on down there. So there was a boy, he's quite squirmy, which, you know, 90% of them are. And Bert was... he says he goes on bunny trails when he teaches, so that means he just kind of goes off on a tangent. And he was carrying on about God used the first Passover to foreshadow the death of Jesus. When I talk like that, I usually tell the kids at the end, I say, now go tell your parents that you went to Bible College 101, because they learned some really cool stuff. Anyway, so Bert's on this rabbit trail. And he's talking about the Passover foreshadowing the death of Jesus. And a week or two later, this boy came back into G-Force. He hadn't been there for a while. And in the gathering place, he starts in on how cool it is how God used the first Passover to show about Jesus and how he works everything in the Bible together. Isn't that cool? So you know that they might be fidgety. This is my hardest lesson ever, so... is to look at a child and have them fidget and believe that he's actually listening. But they are. They really are listening, and that's evidence of the wheels turning and things connecting in their hearts and their minds. Here's another quick story. A girl came in. She was visiting, and she was quiet, kind of to herself, and pretty didn't say much the whole time. And of course, Bert says he's on one of his bunny trails, and he's talking about how God makes each of us different and special, and that we all have our own love language, how we express to God and to others that we care. So as an example, he was relating how he shows love by doing things for others. And at that point, the girl pipes up and says, like this here? And Bert was kind of speechless for a moment. He's like, yeah, just like this here. And he said that was one of the moments where he knew exactly why he was supposed to be down with the kids. So my teachers have done a great job. We love those kids. Sometimes it feels like we're babysitting, but we're really not. We're teaching the word of God. Okay, so one last thing, Kid Camp. Kid Camp is our once-a-year, five-day summer camp that we have at the end of August. And this last year was crazy and wonderful. You can see that big picture down at the bottom. And I just threw the poo picture in there just for a reminder so Josh didn't forget. I don't know if you can see it on the bottom right-hand corner there. you got to remember, Josh just started in May. And in August, we were throwing goo on him. And so it was a great inauguration. Pastor Brent and Pastor Josh did a great job hyping up all the kids and doing fun, crazy things. But at the end of the day, we taught every child the gospel truth, that Jesus loves them and died for them and rose again for them. And so just a quick highlight, we had about 135 registrations. That's individual children. 28 of those were preschool. And we had 90 volunteers. Yeah, that's how much it takes. And that's a big shout out to our church family. I don't think you guys know this, but we're one of the few churches that does VBS at all anymore. And that's because we have a fantastic volunteer base. You guys believe in teaching kids the word of God, and you believe that the children of this community need Jesus. And because of that, we have a great volunteer base that comes and makes VBS the way it is. And so I thank you for that. And just a last highlight, we had 12 decisions for faith from Kid Camp. Thank you very much.
Jeff. Isn't it great what God is doing in our preschool and children's ministry?
No way.
Transition and brag on our kid camp and preschool a little bit, our children's ministry and preschool a little bit. I had the opportunity to head to Landing Trail School, the elementary school here in town, and do a career day, and told them I was from Sturgeon Alliance Church and asked them how many of them, you know, knew what that was. And like 95% of the kids between three classes that I got to speak to, 95% of them have been to our church either through preschool, through kid camp, through Coffee and Chaos. It's so awesome. So now Anna Mae is going to share with us. Anna Mae is our director of connections and small groups. She couldn't be here this morning, so we have a video that's going to play. Highlighting what's from highlighting stuff from small groups and our connections, which is like our community outreach ministry over this past ministry year. So you guys can go ahead and play that video.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to share with you some highlights of things that we are celebrating this past year with small groups and connections. And I had kind of two highlights that stood out to me with small groups. One is that our leaders have been faithful. We've had small groups going strong for over 15 years, and our leaders have been steadfast and just groups that have just really grown and just people connecting over the years. It's been such an integral part of Sturgeon Alliance in the life there, and just they care about their walk with God and their faith, but yet they want to also grow others and see them develop in their faith and their walk with Christ. And so that was a big highlight, just the faithfulness of our leaders and the groups that continue to grow. The second highlight was for Family Project. Our groups had been meeting every week, but then we took a pause for 6 weeks and met as a big group at the church. And we were studying just God's way of how he sees a family and the people, the unit that makes a family. And it was really neat because the folks came together, and for many, there was new people that came as well. And this was a great way that they could connect in with others and just learn kind of an idea of what small groups was like. It was funny because it was hard to get rid of people. Sometimes they just wanted to talk and visit afterwards over coffee and great snacks. And the neat thing was that people were just automatically just connecting with others, with new people that they don't usually see or connect with at small groups. And for ones that hadn't been a part of small group, this was all a good taste of what it's like to come. And there was even a new group formed out of that. So that was a real neat highlight for me. I also wanted to share about a couple of our outreach connection programs to our community. One is the Dinner on Us that runs monthly, and it reaches out to just the community. It's a lot of our seniors, our golden age folks that come. We have a bunch that come from the apartments next door and some from the seniors' home, but we also have some single families that have come, and that has been great to just connect with those that have young kids as well. So we have a real mix in that. Some of our grief share people have come as well, and it's just where they come once a month. They eat a great meal, and they just connect with some others. Some they know, some they don't. But it's just been a really neat thing to connect into our community and give back. And they're so appreciative of being able to come. The second one is we do that breakfast program at our school in Bon Accord. And that has been really neat to see as well, because we have a real mix of ones serving in that. We have a lot of young people that are helping that have just been great. And then we have some older ones. And so it's just a neat connection. The kids at first were nervous about coming. You had a, you know, just a few from the school that would come. But then as word of mouth got out, now it's almost the whole school comes. And they just love it because it's served every Tuesday, Thursday. The kids remember that. They save up and just know that that's going to be their breakfast for the day. And some neat connections are made too in that, because a lot of those kids that are coming through there are ones that also attend our tween events and our youth events. So it's just neat how God kind of uses that to just intertwine the connections that are made in our community through various things that our church puts on. And so it's just something to praise God about and say thank you for all that He's done.
Isn't it awesome what God is doing in our small groups and our connections ministries?
No way.
Yes. Well, I want to take some time here and just talk heart to heart with you about some things. I sent out a State of the Church address on Wednesday. How many received that and read it? Good. The readership on that, actually, I can see online if you read it, by the way. The readership online was pretty high percentage. Well, that's good. That was encouraging to me that you clicked on that and read it. I spent some time away on a personal retreat and started with the posture. Jesus, you start the conversation. I took Philippians like I encourage you to, and I took my life and the church's life and my role as a father and a husband and my role as a pastor and as commissioned leader here, say, God, you start the conversation. Jesus, you start the conversation. I can come in and be like, I think of this, I think that, I think you need to do this. No, quiet your soul and let Jesus start the conversation. And He did. He did. And He talked to me about areas in my own life, and I expressed it in there about dying to self in so many ways, as a husband, as a father, and as a pastor. And then he spoke to me about, through Philippians, about the direction of our church. I talked about three different things in there that we're going to celebrate. I'm going to just briefly go through those, and then I want to talk more about the recalibration that I spoke about in the State of the Church address. Celebrating finances. Boots and Bibles at Thanksgiving. Open Doors at Christmas, the Papaveros at Easter, and Grace in Motion, all four of those lumped together, we gave over $15,000 over and above our budget, which is just amazing. And we're actually on pace to hit and maybe exceed our budget by the time we get to the end of June. I got to talk heart to heart here. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I went to district conference here Friday night and all day Saturday, which is all the churches, all the Alliance churches in the Edmonton area. We came together and just talk about where the Alliance Church is at, where the church in Canada is at, new directions that we're going to take, voted on some things, business meetings, and some spiritual stuff as well. One of the stats that just floored me was this. The state of the church in Canada is not looking very good. 17 churches a week are expected to close in the next 10 years in Canada. 17. Now, that's a wide spectrum, keep in mind, when they take that. That's everything on, like, Roman Catholic, Anglican, even those Baptists in there, you know, Alliance, you know, I was Baptist. 17 a week in Canada. On a global scale, the Christian church is growing, but in Canada, it's struggling. When I talk to pastors face-to-face, and we talk, how's the church going? And I can say, you know what? We're on pace to hit and maybe exceed our budget. What? Really? That's a rare thing. That's a rare thing. When many churches are just fighting to survive and it's fighting to struggle, and we say we can baptize 12 people, 9 of which were youth and young adults, that's a rare thing in churches today. That's a rare thing. We need to be glad. We need to rejoice that God is doing something in our midst, and we get to be part of it. Isn't it amazing what God is doing in our church?
No way.
Yes, sir. No way. That was a rant. Where am I now? Gospel advancement. We can celebrate that. We talked about Family Project, which is amazing. We have an amazing group of volunteers. Amazing group of volunteers here. We did a baptism service back in December, and this one lady that was baptized, I remember seeing her in the potluck, and she was one of the last persons to leave because she was serving in the kitchen, cleaning up on her baptism Sunday. That's Philippians 2, make yourself nothing, taking the form of a servant. We have almost all the volunteers we need for kid camp, and we still need a few more, by the way. But that's amazing that we have that many servant volunteers that say, it's not about me, I'm dead to self, I want to serve and see the kingdom advance. That's huge. On a Canadian's global, you know, on a Canadian scale, seeing about where the churches are in Canada, that's huge. All right, let's celebrate spiritual growth. We did two baptisms this year, and probably many of you can't remember the faces. And so I asked Wilma to put together a video, because she videos all her baptisms, of the faces of the people that were baptized. And so have a look at this 2 to 3 minute video of this past year of our two baptisms. Everyone, glory to God, right? Glory to God. Isn't it amazing what God is doing in our church? 12 people this year said, I'm going to make Jesus the center of my life. I'm going to make him famous with my life. And that bucks the trend of all churches, many churches in Canada today. And, I got to go on this rabbit trail again. I gotta put to sleep some buzz that I've heard. I've heard this in over the past few months, probably in a half a dozen different ways. Pastor Brent, I heard that you're leaving Sturgeon Alliance Church, or I'm scared that you're gonna leave. Let me respond to you. No way. Okay? No way. We haven't even completed chapter one yet. Come on now. God has big things in store here. And I'm so fortunate. I come to work every day, and I just am so thankful, God. I get to be part of what you're doing, and you used me. You used me despite me. You're doing this. And the more in ministry I've learned that God does things despite me, not because of me. And I'm just so fortunate that you allow me to lead here. And anyway, there's so much to celebrate in the work of God in our midst. But as I talked about in the State of the Church address, there's also some recalibrating. How many of you have got your bicycle out? Can you throw that PowerPoint up there? How many of you got your bicycle out this year? Nobody rides a bicycle. Well, so okay, thank you. I got my bicycle out, and I got all the family's bikes. So when you get your bike out at the beginning of the year, it's been sitting there all winter, you got to pump up the tires, you got to adjust the brakes, you got to oil the chain, and there's this one thing at the back of your bike, if you have gears, it's called a derailleur. Okay, and so it shifts. When you press the button on your handles, it shifts the chain from one cog to the next, and it makes it easier. The closer it is to your bike, the easier it is to pedal. But every once in a while, especially over the winter months, that can kind of get out of tune. And when you're riding a bike that has gears and it's got that annoying tick, 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 tick. That derailleur that shifts the chain to a different cog is just slightly off. And that's that grinding sound, that ticking sound that you hear. And you just need to you need to adjust it, to recalibrate it so that it's actually functioning well. It still works. The bike still moves, but it still is just kind of annoying. It still functions like a bike, but it just tick, 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 tick. And you want to adjust it. I think we are a church that's going relatively well. We're working, right? We're moving along. But that doesn't mean that we don't have some fine-tuning, some recalibration as we look to what God might want to do here next as a church. So I want to discuss some of those fine-tunings or the recalibrations or as Paul does in the book of Philippians, spurring these believers on in the areas that they're already doing. Because in the book of Philippians, Paul celebrates the things that are going well, but he also recalibrates and says, keep doing these things, keep doing these things, spurring them on in the direction they're already going. So I want to talk about four things. First off, continue to put the gospel first. Let's read from Philippians there. It says this in chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now, Paul is in prison, remember? And he's saying that this situation, I'm seeing this situation, no matter what I'm in, as a place that's going to actually advance the gospel. The gospel is getting into the Roman guard in ways that it never had before. It wouldn't have if he just went there and stood on a soapbox in the street and preached. He says it's advancing in ways I never imagined. In verse 18, he says, the important thing that is in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. And if you remember the story, there's people that are like stepping on Paul because he's in prison, figuratively speaking, and using his downfall for their own, propping up their own ego. And he says, I don't care as long as they're talking about my Jesus. Man, he is dead to self. All he wants is just gospel advancement. Just keep talking about Jesus. You can tell you anything you want about me. I don't care. Whew. Verse 27, it says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. So Paul mentions this word gospel in the book of Philippians more than any other book, and both he and the Philippians are absolutely consumed with gospel advancement. A few Sundays ago, I wasn't here, and I visited another church. It was actually on a Mother's Day. I told you this story in the State of the Church address, and I noticed there was this family in front of me, and there was this family of a father was holding a young child, and the mother was holding a young child, and there was another older child standing beside them, and the worship leader told us to stand, and we stood in worship, and this other child, this one child was looking up to her mom who was holding this other child, and in the worship, she was raising her hand, just everything she could to hold this child and raise her hand, and this child that was standing next to her looked up at her mom, and she raised her hand too. She's taking her cues from her mom. Her mom is leading her on the Mother's Day. She's watching the words on the screen, trying to sing like her mom, following her mom's actions, making it her own. Then, later in the service, the speaker gets up and they open the Word and they open the Bible, and she sits, the mother sits there. She opens her Bible. I could see it right in front of me. And the child opens her Bible too, and she helps her with it. She's there engaging with the gospel, wanting it to come alive in her life. There's an example there of continuing to put the gospel first and making Jesus her everything. What gospel initiatives does God have for us as we look into this new year? One of the statistics that we heard this past weekend at District is that 30% of Albertans would tick a box in a survey that would said religious none. Zero religious background at all. I wouldn't even consider myself Catholic. I wouldn't consider myself a Protestant. I would say none, not even atheist, just none. I have no interest whatsoever in religion. And that is our culture we live in. And that is the highest amongst any province in Canada except Ontario. Crazy. What gospel initiatives does God have for us in the new year? We did Family Project. That was great. And we're still going to see maybe the fruit of what God's going to do from that. But what new initiatives? I know He has some, and I have some inklings. I'm not going to speak to them yet because they haven't really been confirmed yet. I got to chat about it with the elders. But I know that there's going to be some new ones, and it's going to be a step out in faith. It's going to be, wow, really, God, you want us to do that? Are you sure? It's going to take faith. It's going to take everything. Continue to put the gospel first. Second one, in our recalibration, maintain the unity. In chapter 1, verse 27, he tells the Philippians, stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. That's two terms there, a military term, stand firm, and an athletic term, striving together. And we talked about this last week. I won't dwell on this a lot, but chapter 2 says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. And we talked about this last week, that this is the greatest horizontal threat. There are vertical threats in our theology that we can't let into the church and our understanding of Jesus, but this is the greatest horizontal threat to a church that's going relatively well, just internal strife and disunity. Satan is going to attack there first, and we need to fortify our hearts, make sure there's no grumbling and complaining against one another. Growing up, I went to this kids' midweek program called Awana. Did everyone ever do Awana? Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. What amazing acronym that was, Awana. Anyway, we came together, we played games, and we'd study the Bible as well. And I remember there was this one game that we would play in Awana. It was called Tug of War. And it was four teams, and they would come around this circle rope, and they would all pull in four different directions. And I remember pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling, and it's like it is an exercise in Ecclesiastes, meaninglessness. Nothing's happening. You're just barely pulling it in every direction. It's the exact opposite of what we need to be as a church. Everyone pulling in the different directions. Everyone get on the rope and pull in the same direction. Maintain the unity. Third one, give like the Philippians. Chapter 4, we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. It says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me more aid more than once. You sent me aid more than once when I was in. And he talks to the Corinthians about the Philippian church, the Macedonian church. And now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches in the midst of severe trial, and their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service of the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectation. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, and also by the will of God also to us. Wow. What could God do in our church if we all gave like the Philippians? As you think about what you're going to be spending your money on in the summer and then into the fall, does Jesus get the first fruits? Is he priority? Does your bank account tell you and tell others that you love Jesus, that Jesus is your everything? Now, I say this knowing next to nothing about what you individually give Sturgeon Alliance Church. And I say next to nothing that the only time I know something is when you would tell me, pretty much. So you might mention in a conversation that, so I can't say I don't know anything about what you give, but I don't see the numbers. I don't study the numbers. I know nothing, so I'm not looking at anybody in the face here. But I do know this statistic that we talked about yesterday at District. Christians globally earn $4 trillion globally, and they only give 2% of it away, and not all of it is to the local church. So that tells me that it's a struggle for many. But at the Philippians, their spiritual maturity had reached their wallets. And a sign of true spiritual maturity is when you say, Jesus, you have everything, including my money. It's all yours, Jesus. As we look to another year, what could God do in our midst if we all gave like that to the Philippians, like the Philippians? Even out of their own poverty. And it was Jesus and the gospel first. And I'll live on the rest. 10%. All right. Pray like Paul. Philippians chapter 4. Paul always starts his letters with a prayer. But then in chapter 4, he also mentions prayer again. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In a moment, we're going to have someone come here and pray for our church. But I want to ask us this question. How can we increase our prayer quotient, both individually and collectively in the new year? Maybe not just the amount, but the intensity. How can we increase our prayer quotient in small groups? How can we increase our dependence upon God and coming to Him and saying, Jesus, you start the conversation. You guide this whole process. As an elders board, we will start every single meeting literally on our knees. We'll pair up. We'll come together, share some prayer requests. We'll pair up. We'll go to our knees and we'll pray with that person out loud in the room until there's silence. And often when we come into a situation in our elders board where we don't know the direction to go, it just seems like we're in a fog, we will stop and we will pause and we will do this thing called listening prayer. And we'll say, okay, you just pray, Brent, or whoever would pray, or Kelly. And then we're just going to pause and we're going to listen for Jesus speaking to us. Because we don't know which direction to go on this issue. And He will speak to us. So our elders are trying to model this, of bringing, increasing our prayer quotient, of coming to God with everything. And I encourage us individually to do that as well. These four things: continue to put the gospel first, maintain the unity, give like the Philippians, and pray like Paul. We're going to come back and visit those throughout this next year. But I think those are four recalibrations that we need to make in our spiritual walk. But it starts here. Starts with letting Jesus start the conversation. Now, how many remember this? How many remember that? You wind it up and it just chatters. Sometimes When we come to church, sometimes when we come into our devotion, sometimes when we even come and we acknowledge God, we're like that moth and we just can't stop. And this and that, and you know, and God, and here's what's going on in my world. And yeah, and it's all Pride Week this week, and you know what's going on in the world. And here's what's going on in the world. And God, Jesus just wants to go, just quiet. Right? You've had kids like that. You've been that. We've all been that. We've done it with God. I just want to start the conversation. By the way, I win, Jesus would say. In the end, all the fame and glory comes to me, and here is right now your place. Here is your part to play in extending my fame in the world. Let him start the conversation. That's how it begins. I know that if we do these four things well, we'll come to the end of the next year and we'll have even more to celebrate. All right. I want to introduce you to someone this morning. We've been on a journey as an elders board and as a church, and back in our elders meeting, our elders retreat back in February, we really felt in one of those moments of silent prayer and seeking the Lord that one of the things we needed to do at Sturgeon Alliance is to seek another full-time staff, an associate pastor. And so we felt someone to help out with small groups, discipleship, and our connections and care, and some of the preaching ministry, and some other things within the church. So, I put together a resume or a job description, and we've been looking for a number of months. And I'm pleased to say that God has brought that process to an end. And I want to introduce you to a guy named Andrew Russell. There he is, there with his family and his four kids. There, here he is down in the corner here, and there he is. He is preaching. Andrew currently lives in Cairnport, Saskatchewan, and this morning at his church there, he's actually announcing that he's going to be coming here in August. He's a Briarcrest guy, so he came to Briarcrest the year I left, so we didn't really connect, but he knows many of the guys that I know there, and so I had a lot of good conversations with them. He is part-time at the school, and that's coming to an end here in a few weeks, and he's part-time in the church. So he works half-time as an Aboriginal coordinator for Briarcrest, and he's part-time family pastor at Cairnport Community Church. And he actually is part-time Aboriginal director because he is actually Aboriginal. He's Métis, and so is his wife. And I think the Roos and the Taronchuks will appreciate this as well, that he was adopted, him and his brother were adopted at a young age by a white family, a Baptist pastor, so his dad's a pastor, retired now. And Andrew is actually, get this, he is a rapper, and I mean like he's gone on tour in Canada with like Fresh IE rapper and sung at all kinds of youth events, and God has used it in amazing ways to infiltrate and do ministry into the Aboriginal community and in all sorts of ministry. So, how many have heard of 100 Huntley Street? Okay, he was actually interviewed. You can cue the video up now, Kale. He was actually interviewed on 100 Huntley Street regarding his ministry with the Aboriginal community and his rap music. And so that's kind of the slant of this interview. There's just a few minutes here, but you're going to see his heart for ministry and his testimony in this. So have a look at this, and then I'll see you on the other side.
My guest today says his genre of music is often used for negativity and pain, but he has a passion to redeem rap and bring hope to the next generation. Andrew Russell, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Now, your interest in rap music, before you ever started rapping, you were writing rhymes in a book that nobody ever saw.
Yeah, so like rappers keep a rhyme book, and so I started in grade 8 with creative writing and said, you know what, I think I could write raps, and started, that's where it began, is just basic writing.
And you started becoming known for that around people, and then it started kind of taking off. Mm-hmm. But you didn't think it was really leading you in a good direction in terms of your faith anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so at the time, like Eminem was just coming out. So that's who I kind of listened to. That was my motivation. And so therefore, that's what I was putting in my mind, and that was what was coming out. Mm-hmm. And therefore, during my days in high school, during the week, I would pretend to write these raps and pretend to be this persona that I wasn't. And then on the weekend, I would go to church and it would begin again. So I really was living a hypocritical life and learned a lot through that. But that's kind of how it all kind of started with rap.
So what changed that? You know, you were heading in one direction, but you actually stopped.
Yeah, camp. Honestly, like summer camp is where I went, and a speaker was talking about the idea of identity. And I began to think after the session, he was talking about, who are you? I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. And I began to think, who am I? Am I this Christian guy, or am I this gangster rapper that I'm pretending to be? And through my leader that week, just really showed me that, you know, you're a child of God, and God's giving these gifts to use for Him, not for the world and not for these, you know, evil purposes, pretty much, right? So that's what changed.
And then big doors started opening for you. You got hooked up with somebody that we've interviewed on this mm-hmm. program before, Fresh IE,
yeah.
a two-time Grammy nominee rapper.
Right.
How did that happen?
He heard about me on tour. He was in Regina, and he heard about me from a friend there. I wasn't able to go to his performance, but he heard my name from this guy. And the next date, he was in BC, and a friend had just moved there to BC. Told him about me after the show, so he heard about me in two different provinces in two different nights, pretty much. And he called me up and said, I'm going to be at Youthquake at Briarcrest, where we are right now. And so I drove out in a blizzard and met him, and then in a few weeks, I was in Winnipeg recording and working with him on our label, Kingdom Music, at that time.
You know, a lot of people, when they think about ministry, they have it in certain boxes, right? So mm-hmm. ministry is this, or ministry is that, or
yeah.
a lot of people maybe don't think of rap music as ministry, but
yeah.
it obviously is, especially to people and young people who really follow that genre
Absolutely.
Of music.
Yeah.
How did you see God using that music then to impact people? What were you seeing?
Well, I mean, in Canada, the First Nations youth, their music is hip-hop. Like, if you talk to First Nations youth, they know about all the rappers. And it's because I think there's that passion to hear about the words and sharing stories, and also the struggle of inner city life. That's what rap music is really about. Mm-hmm. And so I really just saw it as a way to communicate the message of Jesus through a genre that usually has such messages of negativity and of violence and all those things, and to use it in a positive way. So they may never step foot in a church, but they could pretty much get, you know, a sermon, and they would listen to it through my rhymes. So I started to see that as an opportunity.
And, you know, as that fame took off, and, you know, you started in this ministry, but a few years in, you know, you had this night where you realized that you weren't mm-hmm. thinking about ministry anymore. Tell me about that night.
Yeah. It was a night we were in BC, and we're in the middle of a reserve, which, like, pretty isolated. And I remember just, I was being on stage rapping one of my songs, and I just remember thinking, do I even care about these words anymore? Is this just about me? And the answer was, it was. It had become a prideful thing for me, and become a thing where I was struggling with it being all of the show being about me. I love the lights, I love the attention, and I had just lost my focus, honestly, and just got caught up in it. And that's when I needed to take a second look at how I want to use my gift again, just as I did when I was younger. I needed to say, God, is this for you or is this for me? And took some time away from rap. Because it had become
an idol.
It took 2 years, yeah. And it had become an idol, and it was destroying me. It was destroying my family. I was newly married to my wife, Sue. And it had just become something where I needed to lay down and let God take. And He did. And by the grace of God, He brought it back in way better ways.
I want to talk about identity, too, because you talked about, you know, God asking you who you are, and, mm-hmm. and there was those early days of rap. But mm-hmm. another part of your identity is that you're Indigenous. People looking at you may not realize that you're Métis.
Right. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about embracing that identity, because you were born to teenage parents
mm-hmm.
who couldn't raise you. So you're actually raised in a white home.
Mm-hmm.
How do you connect then to your Indigenous roots?
Yeah, like it's something that's been a slow process, but has really escalated and jumped up since coming to Briarcrest as well. Through Aboriginal Awareness Week, through First Nations class that I was in here, I've just began to embrace it more. It's something that I kind of knew for many years. I'm not sure when I first was told that I was Aboriginal, but something I've really grown to embrace and not just think as an accident. So I used to view it as, you know, God placed me here, but it was an accident, and He had to rectify it, and that's why I was adopted. And that's not the case at all. God placed me in First Nations culture when I was born for a reason, and I've been able to discover the reasons over the years, rap music being just one of them. And so that's, yeah, I've begun to learn more about my culture, and I didn't know much, you know, in high school I didn't learn very much, but here I've been able to learn a lot about the hurt, the good, the bad, and that's who I am, so... Yeah, it's been a big part of my identity.
I love that. As you've learned about more about your culture and embraced more of it, what have you fallen in love with about it?
The people. Like, and I had that when I was with Fresh and going on reserves. You come in, and I've never felt such hospitality from people that don't even know you. Just welcome you in and literally have feasts for you. I can't, like, the food we had was unbelievable. That's one thing I remember. And just the love. And And I love that as much as people think about First Nations cultures, broken families, and there's a lot of that, there's also families that are so close-knit. Like you see grandmas sitting with their grandchildren and with their families just coming together, sharing stories, passing on traditions. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've seen, the richness of that. And it's amazing just to see the close-knit that they have, even though there's a lot of brokenness, there's a lot of unity too.
What can we do as the church? Is that we just to go out and start ministering to
see
that?
Yeah, I think so. Like just start building relationships and talking to these kids and speaking hope, right? Like when we come in with the gospel, that is hope. So I've seen that. I've seen darkness in children's eyes before we perform, and you're talking to them before, and then when you perform and talk to them after, they light up with hope. But it can't just be a come in and leave type thing. People need to be, you know, like there and building in. And I've seen churches on reserves who are there for the long haul, and you see how suicide numbers have gone down because the hope is constantly there. The church mm-hmm. is a beacon in that darkness. So I don't know, we need the people of God to be crossing these borders and get over fear, and because they're crying out. So I was on a reserve one time, and we had to ask the chief for permission to rap, to share the gospel. And he, with tears in his eyes, said, please help our people, help our children. Mm. We've had these people come in, no one's helped. If you can just help our children, we don't care what you do. Mm. And that's stuck with me for years. They're crying out for help, and we need to help them.
So. That's a good word, Pastor Russell. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It's been
a pleasure. Love chatting with you today.
Awesome.
And Caleb, just cue that 40-second one. He just did a personal greeting to us that he did on his camera with his family. Have a look at this.
Hey, everybody. We're the Russell family. We are so excited and delighted to be able to come and be part of the family there at Sturgeon Alliance Church. So thank you so already for the prayers as we transition. And we are praying for you guys as well. I want to introduce you to my family. My name's Andrew, and this is my wonderful wife, Sue. And these are our kids. This is Malachi, who's 2.5 years old. This is Elias, who's 8 years old. This is Muriel, who's 11 months. And this is Hannah, who is 4 years old. So we're all excited to meet all of you. And thank you again for praying for us. And we're just excited to see you in August. So hope you have a great barbecue and great rest of the day. And we'll see you later on in the summer.
Yes, sir. Wow. What gospel initiatives does God have for us in the new year? I know that it's going to be exciting, and we'll have rap music every Sunday morning. Probably not. Occasionally, maybe. Well, fit it in. But he actually talked to me about some interesting ways they did that. Anyway, exciting. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and I'm going to ask Jeff to come as well. Jeff is going to pray for us. Jeff is going to pray a blessing over us, thanking God for what he's done, and praying for Andrew. Andrew starts, by the way, August the 11th is his first day. He's moving here August 5th. We need some U-Haul guys that day. But August 5th, he's moving. And then August 11th will be his first day. Jeff, why don't you pray for us? And then you guys close us off with a song. Thanks.
God is good.
All
the time.
God is good.
Amen. Even when we're not even watching him, God is good. Join with me in prayer, please. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are so good. In spite of who we are, yet you draw us closer to you, Lord. Thank you that you are in control of all things, Lord. Despite what's all going on in the world around us, you are true to us. Thank you for the things that you've done in our midst in this past year. How we've reviewed what's happened in different ministries, Lord. You are so good. And you've moved in our midst. You provide us finances. You advanced the gospel. We've done ministry here. There's been spiritual growth, Lord, here. Your kingdom has been advanced. Thank you for that. And Lord, as we look forward to the future, Lord, it's love on no one's for a lot of us. As a church, as individuals, as families, Lord, there's brokenness around us. But we want to place you first. We want to have you in control of all things. So we pray, Lord, that you would go before us, you go behind us, you lead us, you guide us, you direct us. You give us your peace that passes all understanding, that no matter what situation we'll face forward as a church, as families, as individuals, that you are right there with us at all times, Lord. Even though we can't see you, you are good. That we want to put the gospel forward, and any of the gospel initiatives that come forward, Lord, that they would be of you. and anything that is not of you, you would put a stop to, that your kingdom would advance even further, that this church would continue to grow, would continue to be a bright lampstand, shining your light to the darkness around us. Lord, thank you that you provided Andrew and Sue and their four kids to come here, Lord. Thank you for your provision in that. Lord, you prepare to guide and prepare them for Andrew and Sue and each of their four kids, a lot of unknowns for them. But also, Lord, that you would prepare each of our hearts, Lord, that we would receive them and that together we'd have unity together to build your kingdom even further. Thank you, Lord, for this time. May all that we say and do be solely for your honor and your glory alone. Amen.